Who's not coming to E3? PlayStation finally gets Discord. 3 video game classics in gaming history. What we played and our games of the week. This is Very Average Gaming. Welcome, everybody, to Very Average Gaming. I'm Will Williams, and with me is my co-host every single week, Joe Cotter.
Hello, Will. How's it going?
It's going all right. Today was a little cold.
Do you think?
And it's going to be cold again tomorrow.
It's supposed to get down to 9 degrees tonight.
I know. And then 60 by next weekend. Can't make it up.
Typical New Jersey weather.
So how was your week in gaming?
Not too bad. I played some stuff. I had fun.
That's good.
Tried a couple new games.
Yeah, same here. You know, the kids are actually getting into Pokemon. So it's been
You said that.
Yeah, it's been like a Pokemon week. I think if I hear the Pokemon theme song from the show again, I'm going to I don't know what I'm going to do, because this whole week we've listened to it on repeat all morning long while getting ready for school.
Oh, kind of like how they used to do with Baby Shark?
Kind of, sort of, but this is like beyond that.
So is Pokemon taking the place of Animal Crossing?
Right now, yeah. They're getting into the cartoon. They're playing Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl on the Switches. And like, they've listened to this theme song so much that like even the baby like dances to it in the morning. It's so bad.
Leave it to them to get into it right when Ash and Pikachu are leaving the show.
Yeah, I know. It's just been a very brutal week. But at least on Sunday night last week, The Last of Us Episode 3 aired, and that was a good reprieve from all this Pokemon theme song music. So what'd you think of the episode?
They went a different direction with it. I wasn't thrilled with it. I didn't hate it. It was, you know, just a different direction than the game.
Yeah. You know, I liked it. I think in the world we live in, like, that's a direction that I guess needs to be talked about and you know what I mean? However, it was very slow moving, that episode.
Yeah.
It took me a couple days to watch it because I was dozing off getting through it. Mm-hmm. The acting was well done.
Oh, they did a great job. I'm not going to deny that.
And I loved Nick Offerman.
Yeah, the way they did the episode, they threw you for kind of like a swerve.
Yeah, 100%.
Because like, the way they did it, like, you didn't expect it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're definitely right. You know, but it was still good, and you know, it's going to set it up for the rest of the season. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it was just different. It was like, I don't think it was bad. It was just different.
Yeah. Well, did you see that they also have, I think you could see it online, that there's a 2-hour director's cut version of the episode?
Yeah. I had my fill of that episode. I probably will not be watching that episode again, but I was okay with watching it.
I had enough trouble getting through it the first time, and not because of the content so much, but because it was so much slower moving than...
Yeah, oh no.
The other episodes it's bad enough that I gotta try and watch this after everyone else goes to bed. So I'm already like half in the bag. And when it's slow moving, man,
you're half in the bag during the middle of the day. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So like when it's slow moving, it takes me a couple days to get through it. I have to just like slog through it. And
oh yeah, I mean, It's one of those things. It just is what it is. It's the world we're in now, and you know,
yeah, that's it.
It wasn't a bad episode. It was just like you said. It was just a really slow episode, and then the way that they went about doing the episode, like, you didn't see it coming.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden it's like bam.
Yep.
But I mean, good episode. The acting was amazing. Sad story. Overall, I would, I, I mean, it's kind of hard to rate it to the other episodes because it's so completely different.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, as far as acting wise, it was brilliantly done.
Well, this is that one episode. Like every show has that one episode where it's like, we got to get through this one. And I think if you were to sit there and binge watch this, like if you waited till all of them came out and you just went right through it, it would probably be an easier pill to swallow in a sense, because like you go action, action. All right, I got to get through this. And then, but when you're binge watching a show, like you're like I know, like when I watched Cobra Kai, man, like I binge watched the first like three seasons. And it was like, there was a couple episodes in there where I'm like, oh, this is a slow moving one.
That show is interesting.
I love that show.
It's a good show, but it's like so ridiculous.
Well, it is. It's so campy from the 80s and 90s.
It's not even campy. It's just like half of the crap they do in that show you would never be able to get away with in real life.
Oh, yeah. You know. Well, they announced that the sixth season will be the last one, so I'm looking to see how it ends.
Okay.
All right. So, okay, enough of that, right? So, this week in news, we have a couple headlines, right? So, the first big one was Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft all announced that they will not be present at E3.
Yes, that does not bode well for E3, unfortunately.
No, it doesn't. They're going to have to hope that a lot of these indie gaming developers and publishers want to come out, because if they don't get a lot of these indie titles, it's like it might be the end of E3.
Yeah, I mean, because like, the last with the pandemic, the last few years and stuff, like they have not, you know, really even done much. So because you couldn't have everybody at the convention centers and stuff. So I mean, to have this, I mean, this is kind of like a dagger for them. Hopefully, they can find a way to get through. I mean, if they could find a way to put a spotlight on a lot of these indie studios, that is great. I would love to see that.
Yeah,
it all comes down to the demand for it.
Well, yeah, and I think there is a very high demand for independent games. Like, I think the indie game right now is probably at its highest level ever.
Uh-huh.
I mean, some of the sales of these indie games is truly competing with some of the AAA titles that are out there.
Absolutely. And
I think that Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft all have realized that it's a lot easier and less stressful to release, like they just had with Xbox and the Bethesda showcase. Like, we could do this on our own time, on our own accord. And because COVID, you don't need to have this big, huge convention about it. We can just release it when we want to and when we're ready for it.
Yeah, on their own terms.
Yeah, exactly, you know?
I mean, I would love to see, I think the demand for this indie stuff, because I mean, a lot of these indie titles lately have been really good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a lot of these indie, like, for the last year, like, these indie games are coming out. It's like one after another are bangers. And I also think if they were to push the indie kind of deal for E3, that would be great, because I think everybody over the last, like, 6 to 8 months is kind of getting tired of the bickering back and forth between Microsoft and Sony over this whole Activision deal. So if they can make a good showcase for all these indie studios and some good titles, I would love to see it.
Yeah, I'd like to see who's going to try and sign on to E3. I think it might be a bigger draw, because if you don't have these big three there, it means that you have a better shot of being showcased.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and some of the biggest titles of this year, I mean, at least that I mean, I'm a big indie game player anyways, but like Vampire Survivors, Cult of the Lamb, what were some of the other big titles? I mean, those are the two that stuck out to me because I've played them like a crazy amount. I mean, Stray is considered an indie title. That was big this year.
Vampire Survivors?
Yeah, I said Vampire Survivors. That got snubbed so bad at the awards. I don't want to get into that.
What was that other game you played this year? Wasn't that an indie game?
Core Keeper?
No.
That was an indie game.
What the heck was it called? You had to go into the dungeons and...
Rogue Legacy?
No. You did the review on it. I forget what it is.
Cult of the Lamb.
Cult of the Lamb. That's
yeah,
it.
I said that one too. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you say that one.
Yeah. That's a really big title. That also got stumped at the Game Awards.
So, I mean, I'd love to see... It also depends on do these studios have stuff ready to go for E3? That's another big thing that comes down to it.
That's true, too.
Are they going to be ready in time for E3? Because I think E3 is what, beginning of June, end of May, somewhere in there?
I believe so.
It's usually beginning of June.
That's when it used to be. I don't know. I didn't see an announcement for the date. But yeah, usually it's in the beginning of June. It's usually like right in around that, like right before summer. Like the spring summer, like that, like right in that cusp area. Uh-huh. Either like right when summer starts or right when spring ends, you know, the same area.
Right in there, you know.
Yeah. And so, it makes me want to know what these I know. But it makes me want to see like what Sony, Nintendo, Microsoft have planned for this year then. If they're not going to use the conventions, they're going to be using their little showcases or their blog posts or their Twitter handles, like whatever they're going to do, it's going to be crazy. I mean, PlayStation hasn't really announced anything new. I think I read somewhere that they announced that there's going to be a PS5 Pro and a Slim.
Okay.
Whether or not that's true might be rumored. I don't know if it's true. They got the PSVR 2 coming out this month, which is going to be a big flop. Because I can't see anyone justifying paying that price tag for something that you need the PS5 to use. So we'll see. I mean,
which you're already putting a pretty penny into.
Yeah, just to play the PSVR, to buy the two things, you need, it's over $1,000. Like, and then that's not including, you don't get any games. You got to buy games too. So it's like when you have something like the Meta Quest.
And what if you buy their new controller? They're coming out. That's another $200.
Yeah, right. Like when are they? They're nickel and diamond.
That's what Sony's good for.
Yeah. You know, and Nintendo's going to have their normal IPs. I hope that they release a Mario this year. The movie's coming out. I think all their eggs are in the movie basket right now. And then once the movie is, like, officially out, they're going to probably announce a boatload of games for the second half of the year.
I could see that.
You know, like, and I hope it's big IPs. Like, I want it to be Mario. I'd like to see a new Donkey Kong game. Like,
yeah, I would love for it to be Mario too, but I don't want them just to release a Mario game just for the sake of a Mario game.
Oh, yeah, but if it's like Mario Odyssey 2, oh my god. What?
I mean, the last couple were good. I mean, I don't think they were great. I think the last good one was probably, what, Sunshine?
No, Mario Odyssey is the best Mario game ever. Hands down, maybe not next to Mario 3. Mario 3 is the best Mario game ever. Then Mario Odyssey, hands down.
It's going old school for that.
Well, because Mario 3 is what revolutionized Mario to like what he is today. Mm-hmm. All the different suits and everything else. So, but Super Mario Odyssey is, you can't hold a candle to that with any other game that's a 3D platformer.
And to think it was just a play.
I know, right? Isn't that crazy? You know, and then we obviously know what's going to go on with Microsoft. They've already announced there's going to be like 6 titles coming out in the next 6 months, and then the second half of the year we'll see what they got in store. So it's going to be weird not having them at E3, but I totally understand why they're not doing it. And
oh yeah,
it just sucks for E3.
And I really hope they get this Activision deal done and out of the way, because I think everybody's tired of hearing about it.
I think it'll be done by April. I give it to April.
Yeah.
You know, and then we'll see.
Because, I mean, from what I gather from the whole thing is Sony's just mad at Microsoft for doing the same crap that Sony does.
Well, yeah.
So it's like, all right, well, whatever, just get it out of the way.
Yeah, but I think what Sony's take is on it is that the way they do it is they pay out of pocket to gain the exclusivity rights, whereas Microsoft is literally buying the company to do it. You mean it's not like they're paying Activision Blizzard to give them Call of Duty and all these titles. It's like they're...
They bought quite a few studios.
That's what I mean. You know... But so, I mean, it's only an issue because Call of Duty is the number one selling game of every year.
It, It's the only reason that they're making a big deal about it is because of Call of Duty. If Call of Duty wasn't in the mix, they wouldn't even be making a stink.
Definitely, because it's the number one selling game all year, and it sells half of its units off of the PlayStation. So it's, you know, they're worried that Microsoft's going to put it on Game Pass, and then it's going to incentivize people to buy Xboxes over PlayStations. But if PlayStation's smart and they know it, Microsoft doesn't have really good IPs, so people are going to be buying PlayStations anyway just for their games.
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't know why they're pooping kittens about it. They're going to be still selling tons of stuff.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, speaking of PlayStation, right? Mm-hmm. So the PlayStation 5 system software beta to test Discord voice chat is finally coming out. And it's possible that they're going to try these cross-platform calls, which would be pretty cool. Like, if I can talk to you on Discord while we play and you're on your Xbox and I'm on my PlayStation, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
You know, it's about time that this has happened. I mean, I know Discord's already integrated into Microsoft and Xbox. It's obviously on the PC because we're actually using Discord to do this broadcast right now. And
who would have thought?
Right? And it's just about time that PlayStation finally, I know they announced it like last year, 2 years ago. So it's the wave of the future of being able to just party up and be able to chit chat while you're gaming instead of having to everyone have the same console or a computer or a phone running as well.
Hopefully it works out.
Yeah, no, it will.
It'll just be another reason that'll push gaming forward.
Yeah, it's right, you know. It'll make it a lot better to play.
Because, I mean, you know, being able to talk to each other, I mean, there's so many different ways to do it now. I mean, you have Discord, TeamSpeak, like all these different, you know, apps and stuff to be able to use, talk while gaming or stuff like that, and it's really awesome.
Yeah, and now it's just integrated, so, well, you know, you could just do it while you're playing rather than, like, having to have your phone on or put up your PC so you could be on Discord with someone. So we'll see. Hopefully the beta works out great, and that'll be the thing of the future, so that all these cross-platform games, you can talk to your buddies cross-platform on Discord at the same time.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. So lastly with the news, I read actually tonight that the Grammys announced that they're actually going to have a gaming music category.
Right.
So it's going to go, I guess, to the best gaming soundtrack. So okay. I'm going to put my money that it's going to go to God of War.
God forbid if it didn't.
Well, look at that. Look at that vicious eye roll from Joe over there.
God forbid if it didn't.
You know, well, I know they've won everything, and it's only because that they came out right at the end of the year. So at least they didn't win Game of the Year at the Game Awards.
And they shouldn't have.
So, but I think that's pretty interesting. It's about time that these soundtracks get their due, because some of them are actually better than these movie soundtracks. So I just thought it was a little interesting.
Oh, a lot of the soundtracks are better. Like I remember over years, all the Final Fantasy games having amazing soundtracks.
Yeah, I have a couple of them actually on DVD. I actually have hold this little section of my shelf here is all soundtracks to video games, because a lot of them give it to you free if you buy like the collector's edition. So I've over the time I've collected, you know,
quite a few collector's editions.
What?
I said quite a few collector's editions.
Yeah, you know. But I just thought it was a nice little, like a nice, neat little tidbit to throw in there. You know, I have nothing really to add to that. Just I thought it was pretty cool that their Grammys this year are going
to. That's awesome that it's reaching to that point of mainstream.
Yep. So now that we are done with the news.
The ending of the news.
We are going to get into the next segment of This Week in Gaming History. All right. So every week, I scour the internet and look for things up that have come out, you know, in the past with gaming. Usually I try to go retro and stuff because, I mean, if it came out 2 years ago, who really cares? And this week was actually a pretty good week. We had a couple of really big video games that were released.
Yes.
This week. a long time ago. And we'll start with the oldest one, right? Which was Contra, was released this week in 1988, and it is now 34 years old.
That's insane.
Now, I don't know if everyone has played Contra, but I know growing up, Contra was a big deal to, you know, our generation. And basically, the game allows players to select single player or actually co-op mode, which wasn't a big thing back then in the NES.
Most games back then were single player.
Or when you played two player, it was like when the player one died, player two then went and took their turn.
Yeah.
So basically you played as these two commandos, Bill Reiser and Lance Bean, from the Earth Marine Corps Contra Unit, which was an elite group of soldiers specializing in guerrilla warfare. But the biggest thing that I think Contra is known for isn't so much its gameplay, but it is what brought to the front lines the Konami code, which I don't think is still in existence. I don't think you could use the Konami code on like Konami games now, but back on the NES, almost every single Konami game played, if you would put the code in, it would give you some kind of special thing in the game. Like with Contra, it started you off with 30 lives instead of three.
And you needed
Yeah, and you needed them. And it was cool because even when you died, if you continued, you would continue again with 30 lives. Now, do you happen to remember what the Konami code was, Cotter?
Huh?
Do you happen to remember what the Konami code was?
Without looking at the key, up, down, down, left. I forget. I haven't done it in forever. So.
Okay. Well, it's up, up, down, down, left, right, BA.
Select start.
And pretty much like it would make a noise and you'd know it was entered and you'd get these extra lives in Contra. I remember playing Contra like crazy. It was one of those games that I could never beat without the Konami code. I've tried numerous times, even as an adult, and I still have trouble beating it without the Konami code. Actually, one of my fondest memories of Contra was, believe it or not, it was one of the few games when I was like real little. Like, I was like probably like 6 or 7 years old. And playing in the living room at my mom's, and Ron, my stepdad, he would sit there, and I don't know if he was really into Contra, but he would truly sit there and like just to appease me, and we would play through Contra. And the first time I actually beat the game, he was actually playing as player two, which is pretty cool. Yeah, which is a pretty cool little tidbit.
And it's funny because like people talk about the difficulty of games. Back then, you have no idea how hard the games were.
It makes Dark Souls look like an easy game.
Dark Souls not even that hard compared to like some of the Mega Man games, Battletoads. Like people don't know how Contra, those games were crazy hard.
Because you know what the hardest part about them was, one,
and there were no saves.
There was no saves. And you only had limited continues. So like it wasn't like you can keep continuing and like keep going till you get to the end. Like some games gave you one or two continues at the most. So, you know, but Contra was an awesome game. I really enjoyed Contra. The second game on our list was Sonic the Hedgehog 3 for the Sega Genesis, came out in 1994, which is 28 years ago. So it's coming up on its 30-year reunion.
That one's probably my favorite in the series. Honestly.
Yes,
three was fun.
Three was a lot of fun. Which was cool with three is that it was the first one that they when Sonic and Knuckles came out later, Sonic and Knuckles had that ability to pop a cartridge on top of it, and Sonic 3 allowed you to play Knuckles in Sonic 3. Like if you popped Sonic the Hedgehog 3 on Sonic and Knuckles, it allowed Knuckles to become a playable character in Sonic 3, which is pretty cool, like the integration there. But for people who didn't know, like Sonic the Hedgehog 3 was initially developed as an isometric game to what would be eventually Sonic 3D Blast. So it was supposed to be more of like a 3D kind of platformer, but went back to a 2D because of time constraints, because they were pushing to try and release the game. And also another little small tidbit that I don't know, most people don't know, because I didn't know this till I started researching Sonic the Hedgehog 3. Michael Jackson composed portions of that soundtrack.
That's awesome.
And he left the project, so he went uncredited. So he helped in the beginning, and then he left, and he took as it an uncredited credit. You know, it went down as a critically and commercial success, and it was ended up being one of the highest selling Sega Genesis games of all time. So, I mean, Sega Genesis was my big thing when I grew up. Like, I went from the NES to the Sega Genesis. I didn't dabble in Nintendo or Super Nintendo at all. So Sonic 3 it was a game that I played religiously. It has a soft spot in my heart, like almost all the Sega Genesis games that I own. I wish I still had all my old guys. I have a bunch of them, but not nearly as much as I had when growing up.
It's hard to keep track of some of that stuff.
Well, you know, yeah. And back then, you didn't collect them. You played them. You know, I'd love to have Desert Strike back. And
that was a good game.
Oh, man. That was one of my favorite games. There's a couple toys. You want to talk about a tough game. Toys for the Sega Genesis with, oh, man, based off the movie. Oh, my God. But with that, we have one more game, and this is a real big one. Silent Hill came out 24 years ago.
Amazing game.
In 1999, which makes me very excited because part of me feels that next year they might try to remaster it for a 25-year reunion, like a 25-year anniversary.
That'll probably come later because they're already working on the remaster for 2 right now.
Maybe they'll release them together, be like a surprise.
Yeah, one can hope.
Like, surprise! No, Konami doesn't do that.
No, they do not.
Konami's infamous for not doing that. So, if anyone hasn't played Silent Hill, you play as Harry Mason and... The story is you're searching for his missing adopted daughter in a fictional town called Silent Hill. And it's just basically like a cult. And like, what would you call them? They're not zombies.
No, they're demons.
Yeah, they're like, okay. You know, and what was cool about the original Silent Hill.
It's pretty much... You know, your version of, you know, down there, trying to keep this family friendly.
Okay.
In the town pretty much brings your, you know, worst fears and things like that to life.
Yeah. You know, and what was really cool about Silent Hill is the game actually had 5 different endings.
Yes, it did.
And depending on, like, how you played and the actions you took as a player, like, you would get different ones. And one of them was a joke ending. It's obviously considered to be one of the greatest video games ever made by a lot of people.
It also has some of the hardest puzzles.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it was you know, it was the defining title in the survival horror. Like, it was like one of the first big survival horror games. And since its release, there's been various adaptations. Silent Hill. There was a visual novel released. There's a film, which wasn't that good. They did a reimagining of the game.
Gory, that's all it was.
What?
It was just gory, that's all it was.
Yeah. And, you know, they created 2 sequels. They had Silent Hill 2 and then Silent Hill 3.
And 2 is considered the best of the series.
Yes, yes. Usually, I find in video games that if you do a really good number 2, number 2 happens to be...
What does number 2 work for?
I find that when there's a sequel and the sequel is really good, the second one tends to be better than the first one usually when it comes to video games.
Yeah, I mean, 2 is an amazing game. I would definitely say it's the best in the series. I still say 1's my favorite.
Okay.
Just because you get that katana and you run around and doing all kind of crazy stuff. And I just, plus the, you know, the first time you, two, the first time you come across Pyramid Head, you're like, what?
Well, yeah. You know, it is a very strange thing to look at.
Because, like, yeah, you don't know what he is. You don't know what he's capable of. You don't know what he's doing. And then you're like, crap. Time to run.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. I hear you. All right, so that's pretty much it for gaming history this week. You know, and then tune in next week when we'll have a couple more things that happened in gaming history.
Yes, more tidbits to follow.
So let's get into the games we played this week, right? So,
alrighty.
I'll start with you because my list is a little longer.
Yeah, well, because you're a dabbler.
Yeah, but I'm actually dabbling in the same like four games every week now, so that's a good sign.
Well, I mean, so for me, I did me a little Minecrafting.
Okay. Which one of your worlds did you work on?
Huh?
Which one of the worlds did you work on? Which one of your worlds?
One of my newer ones.
Oh, your new ones? Okay.
Yeah.
We should have you take like screenshots and like we could put them on the website.
Yes, we will definitely do that.
So people can see what you're building over there in Minecraft.
Well, sounds like a plan to me.
They could see the hole I built. Because as far as I got.
A whole lot of nothing because you don't play the game.
Oh, well.
And then, I played a little bit more Descenders. That game has slowly grown. I wouldn't say slowly grown on me. I actually really enjoyed that game. It was a gem of a find, honestly.
Look at that. See, and you would have never thought to play that, ever, in a million years. Nope.
And, like, the when you go on the Game Pass and look at it, I mean, like, it doesn't, like, that's pretty much what attracted me to it, was, like, the art style, like, the art of the picture that's up for the I guess would be considered the cover of the game. That was really what kind of drew it to me. I'm like, oh, let me check this out. And then, like, you get into the tutorial and you're like, oh, they want me to slide down this hill and then do a no-handed thing over a ramp. And it's like, oh, well, this is kind of addicting. I like this. And then you get to, like, the little free ride area that they put you in when you're not doing, like, career mode or whatever. And, like, it's got vert ramps and a bouncy house and, like, all this kind of crazy jumps and stuff. And you're like, oh, this is pretty cool.
Is that to like teach you how to do the moves and stuff?
The tutorial teaches you how to do the moves, and okay. Then they put you into the. It's just like their little open play area. You can crash as many times as you want.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Nothing happens. But it gives you a place to practice.
That makes sense.
And there's like vert ramps and big jumps and a whole bunch of little things to check out. Then you can go into there, and they have the place called the Shed, and that's where you go in and, like, select different things for your character and stuff like that. So
there you go.
And then you can do, like, career mode or career plus or free ride or whatever you want to do.
That's, like, a pretty in-depth game. Like
It is and it isn't. And then, like, all the worlds, everything's procedurally generated, so.
As you were saying, yeah, so every time you go down the hill, it's different.
Well, it's yeah, every time you go, because, like, you'll go into, like, the map, which is, like, the Highlands, and then it'll have, like, a bunch of dots all over the map, and each dot is a track.
Okay.
So, but every time you go, no two tracks are the same. So they'll have different jumps, different steepnesses, different, because they're, like, whenever you look at a map, look at the map, so, like, you'll have the Highlands, and then you have the dots, which is the individual track. And then you'll click onto the individual track, and it has steepness, curves, stunts. So, it'll have different statistics of how steep a track is, how many jumps there are, and how many curves in the track there are.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it's in depth, but it's not super in depth.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
I might give it a try. Like, you keep talking this game up. I might have to try. Like, I'll try Descenders. You try Vampire Survivors.
I did try Vampire Survivors.
What'd you think?
It's pretty good for a wave-based game. It's very good.
Okay.
A lot of enemies come at you at once, though.
Well, yes, it is. Once you unlock the character Poe, who starts with garlic, it'll allow you to get a lot more gold to level your person up to get to, like, better stuff. That would be my recommendation.
You were saying to get away from the garlic, though, right?
Yeah, but, like, use it to like play a bunch of rounds to collect a lot of gold, because the garlic, the first, like, I would say, like, the first, like, 10 minutes of enemies, the garlic just like rips them apart. It's like a little circle that goes around you. When they hit the circle, they get hit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then as you level up the garlic, the circle gets bigger and it does more damage.
always a plus.
Yeah. The only bad thing with garlic is it's not hooked up to any other power up to be like a special super power up. So, yeah. So like when you get to like the big bosses and the bigger enemies towards the end of your 30 minute playthrough, it's crap. All right. So with what I played this week, I played four games, and three of them have carried over from last week, and one was new because it just got released last Friday. So I played Dead Space.
The new
Dead Space. Saints Row, the new Saints Row, Undermine, and Biomutant. And I'm liking, I'll start with Undermine, because Undermine I played the least. It's like I said last week, I just kind of play a handful of rounds, collect a little bit of gold, and I'm trying to just further myself through the game to beat it. Really haven't done much with it. It's a roguelike. It's a good game. If you can play it on like handheld, I think handheld is better. But I mean, you can play it on the PC. I think it's also on Game Pass if you really wanted to. But it's a lot of fun if you're into those like Zelda like clone type games, but it's a roguelike version of it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Right. So the second I played Biomutant. I got a little further into Biomutant. And I'm still kind of feeling that the reviews were kind of spot on. And they got like sixes and sevens. And for a game that was delayed as long as it was, it kind of feels like they hit it right at the... Right now, that's where I feel it's going to probably land for me. Mainly because the enemies are... You're fighting the same thing over and over again. Like, it's not the same enemy, but they kind of attack the same. The graphics are stunning. The controls are fun. They're easy. They're fluid. It's very nice. The power-ups are pretty cool. But it's not a boring game, but it's just not exciting.
Repetitive.
Yeah, for the most part. And you would think that a game that got delayed as much as it did, it would have had more to it. Third, I'll go into is Saints Row. I think most of the people that reviewed this game were wrong. I'm kind of believing that my review is going to be up there with like... Game Informer. Game Informer gave it, I think, an 8.5 or a 9. And I'm right on par with that. I'm having so much fun with Saints Row. It's brought me back to like playing Grand Theft Auto. And I'm excited for it. Like, I played 3, I played 4, I've played San Andreas, I've played 5. And by the time I got to 5, I was like, it's the same thing. It's, you know. But with Saints Row, it brings me back to the excitement I had when I was playing like Grand Theft Auto 3 in San Andreas. I don't know why.
Or Vice City.
Vice is my favorite, Vice City.
That's the best one.
And how did I leave that out? I don't know. But Saints Row, it's a lot of fun, and they've done a lot of little cool things to keep you engaged, like certain things like taking pictures of certain monuments or... things in the environment, which then turn into fast travel stations. There's different types of side quests, whether it be stealing cars or doing helicopter missions or, you know, wanted, you know, you got to kill these people. It's keeping you very engaged, as well as there's a main story. And it seems like where the story is going is that you start to own and build up the city. So I'm going to see where this goes. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I've probably put the most amount of time out of all the games I've played this week into Saints Row. And with that said, now I've started the new Dead Space. And I have to say that this game is just freaking awesome. It is like so good. I'm having just as much fun with this Dead Space as I did when I went through the original Dead Space on the 360. And it's just, the controls are better, and it's graphically stunning.
I saw the graphics. They look amazing.
It took me a little bit of while getting used to the controls again. Like, I mean, like, it's...
They're a little wonky to get used to.
It's not so much that they're wonky. It's that with the enemies, you have to shoot for the limbs, not the head. And I'm so concentrated on when you play games that you have to shoot for the body and head. So it took me a little bit of getting used to. And the first weapon you get isn't as strong as what you can unlock as you get further into the game. So, it's stunning. Unbelievably stunning. I've already had a couple of jump scares that have jumped out at me. I am looking forward to completing this game. I beat this game. I'm not going to complete it. I'm not going to get a platinum on this. Forget that. It's going to take too long. I don't got the time for that. But it is a game that if you are into any kind of horror type gaming, I would recommend it.
Oh, must play.
But I would wait for it to go on sale. You could get the original on Game Pass right now. Like if you wanted to play the 360 version, it is on Game Pass. I would go that route just to get a feel for it. I mean, it is outdated. It is what it is. But I can't justify buying any of these games at $70. Like I'm only playing it because I got it through Gamefly. So I figured I'm going to start renting some of these games so I could give them a try. And so I rented Dead Space through there, and that's the only reason why I'm playing it. But I can't justify spending $70 on a game unless it's something I know I'm going to put like 1,000 hours into.
Which you don't do.
That is true. Well, see, the last game I think I put a ton of hours into was Tiny Tina's. And we still have to continue that, and don't. I'm not going to get you into that, but
I'm dead ship sailed.
Yeah, I know.
That ship sailed. Because you don't ever want to get on and play.
It's not that I don't want to get on and play. I'm too tired. What? Mm-hmm. If I could figure out a way to play that handheld with you, we'd be good to go.
How does that make any less difference of how tired you are?
Because then I could like lay back on the cat. Oh, I guess I could do that on the TV too.
Okay, so you have more of a chance of falling asleep while we're playing?
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I guess I didn't think of it that way.
Well, right. Where'd you go?
How come you're not shooting at the guy?
Why is your character walking into a wall?
You know. So, but that's pretty much what I've played this week. I'm probably going to continue to play Dead Space, Saints Row, Undermine, probably. Like those are the nights where like I put on the Golden Girls. And I just put on my Steam Deck.
Thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road and back again.
Oh, God.
Right. So
on that, how about we get into next week's Game of the Week?
Well, we'll go this week. We didn't talk about our games of the week that we played this week, right? So, exactly right. We're going to get into the games of the week. So, every week, me and Joe over there, we choose a game that we probably would never, ever think of playing or choosing. And we give it a try and we try to put as many hours as we can into it. Sometimes it's one or two because it's not our game. And other times, like Descenders, he's been playing it since he figured this out three, 4 weeks ago?
About a month ago, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll start with his. Your first, your game of the week was The Long Dark.
Yes. Now, I figured that this was going to be right in my alley because I love, survival games like that. And basically, it's got a couple of different features. You could play the survival mode, or you could play the story mode. And it's pretty cool. I mean, it's really slow paced. It's very in depth. I will say that. There's so many things to keep track of in this game, whether it's your temperature from getting hypothermia or how much sleep you're getting to hunger, thirst, health. Like they have a day night cycle. It's really, as far as like in depth, as far as like that goes, like how much weight you can carry. Like they really go into depth with that kind of aspect of the survival.
That's pretty cool. Man,
as far as like pretty much like for the story mode, I really didn't get too. I mean, that's what I'm playing just to get a few hours into it. Pretty much, you start off in airplane hangar.
Okay.
And you get sent on this flight with, if I had to guess, your ex-wife.
Hmm.
And she's supposed to be delivering medicine to this, I believe it's called Bear Island or something like that. And on the course of your flight, you crash.
Okay.
And then you pretty much have to survive from there. And then you just look around. You stumble upon this town. You go through. You can search buildings. You can loot different cabinets and stuff like that. You can also, like, as you're searching, you find like different food items and say you come across a chair, you can break it down into the wood, the fabric and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's pretty cool. It's just, it's a lot to keep track of and it's really slow paced. But I mean, if you like a survival game, I would give it a try. And they even go into detail such as, say you're fishing and you have a wound, the scent will actually attract wolves.
Okay.
Or bears or wildlife like that. Like it's pretty crazy how they did that. Fun fact, this game is actually partially crowdfunded.
Oh, wow. Okay. I always like crowdfunding games. I've crowdfunded a bunch of games. So basically, like, from listening to you, like it's kind of like a real life survival game. Like, not like these games where it's like, oh, you know, like it's survival, but you have to eat food but you're fighting monsters. This is more like you're in the woods and you need to survive.
Yeah. And like but it's so hard to keep track of like all your different things because like even like little things like you eat a piece of beef jerky. I guess the saltiness from the jerky causes you to lose thirst.
Oh.
So it's like an up and a down. And
I gotcha. But that's pretty cool. Like, I guess it's for the hardcore survival game people.
And I was saying about like the whole temperature with the hypothermia and stuff like that. Like, you have to go and make a fire and sit by the fire for to warm up your temperature gauge. Like, it's very in depth. It's like I said, it's a lot to keep track of. It's an alright game. I've got about 4 or 5 hours into it, I'd say.
Okay.
I really didn't get that far because, like I said, it's kind of slow paced. Like, you have to go around and, you know, collect items and especially if you have a lot of weight on you, you lose the ability to run. And especially if you have a ton of weight on you, you walk like snail's pace slow.
Okay.
And you can also, like, there's a feature in the game where if you're carrying too much, you have a chance of spraining your ankle or falling and stuff like that. Like it's insane how much little stuff they go into like that.
Hmm. That sounds the like it's interesting. It's just not.
The graphics aren't amazing. I mean, to me, it's not about graphics, but I mean, if for someone who's expecting amazing, amazing graphics, like the graphics are okay. They're kind of like this, like, especially like with the characters themselves, they're almost like this, like, not realistic looking. It's almost like you're looking at a character that's painted into the game. Kind of like that kind of like art style.
Okay.
So, but good game. If that's your kind of game, go check it out.
All right.
What you got for this week?
So this week I picked a game called Floppy Nights, which was this colorful indie strategy tactical card game. Sorry for that long drawn out delay. But basically what it is it plays like an RTS where, like, you know, and you pick your characters, you put them on the map, and you have to, like, you have to battle and fight the other bad people on the map. And
okay.
But the twist on this one is that there's cards that allow you to play to, like, give your people abilities. So, you know, I guess it is like a tactical game, like, because it would be weapons and armor would be what you would add on to your other people. Like, if you were playing Fire Emblem or XCOM, like, you would use weapons and armor as opposed to these cards that, you know, allow you to add abilities or, like, special things to the characters. So basically, it's a very simple game. If you've never played a tactical game, this is a very good entry point. Even though the cards might get, you know, it's a little bit more in depth than a normal straightforward, like Mario Rabbids.
Okay.
But it's a lot of fun. the difficulty isn't hard, but it's also not easy. It's like a perfect blend. So like you never feel like you're running through the game, but you're also got that little bit of a challenge so that it doesn't feel like, oh no, I take that back. There's enough challenge that you're not running through the game, but it's also you're not dying 1,000 times.
Okay.
You know? And it's really enjoyable. It's very colorful. The soundtrack is great. The art is done from the same people that did the game Dicey Dungeons, if you ever played that. And it's just a very simple, relaxing, fun, tactical card game. I would highly recommend this to anybody who's never played tactical. I think it would give them a good entry point to that type of game. I think it's also fun if you happen to like card building games, because it's the same concept. Like, you know, when you win a battle, you get to choose different cards to build your deck. It was kind of short. I think I'm more than halfway done already. And so I wish they had like DLC. I wish there was like some more options other than the main story. But it's done perfectly great. The characters are awesome. The story is great. The challenge is good. And I would recommend this game. I would. I know I'm repeating myself a lot because it's not that long of a game where there's much to add.
Sometimes simple is better, though.
Yeah, I agree.
If there's not a need to overcomplicate the game, then don't.
Oh, definitely. You know. But it is definitely something that I would recommend to people to try, because it's a pick up and go game. Like, so you could pick it up, play it for a couple, you know, do a couple of rounds, yeah, and call it a night. You know, you don't have to worry about playing it continuously and losing your spot in the story. But it was definitely a fun experience for me so far. It's going to get added to my Steam Deck rotation of when I'm sitting on the couch watching the Golden Girls. So it'll probably be that and Undermine till I finish this game. I wish I had it on the PlayStation 5, because I think this is a game that I'd be able to platinum. But I don't, so I'm not going to just buy a copy of a game for a platinum trophy. I think that's ridiculous. Some people do. You know, yeah. If the version is Xbox or PlayStation, I'm going to buy it. I'll buy the PlayStation for that reason. Plus, I just like the way the PlayStation controller fits in my hand. but I'm not going to go out of my way and buy an extra copy just to get a trophy.
I still say that the best controller that Xbox ever came out with, mm-hmm, was the 360 one. It was slightly smaller than the ones that they have now.
Yeah.
And it just fit your hand better.
Yeah, oh yeah. That's what makes the PlayStation controller so great. It's a little smaller. Mm-hmm. I feel like I can like hold the whole thing in my hands.
PlayStation 5 controller is a little bigger.
It is, but it's not big enough to notice the difference. Like it's and I have bigger hands, so like it's I think it's a better snug fit for me. On top of that, so now that we've discussed our games of the week last week and we give our recommendations and whether or not we think you should play them, what is your game of the week for this coming week?
This week I came across a game that looked kind of interesting to me. So I said, you know, I was like, oh, that's got a cool name and it's a cool art style on the cover. Maybe I'll go in and take a look at it. And it looks like it's going to be a fun game. I got it downloaded and ready to go, and you know, we'll see how it goes. The game is called Dreamscaper.
Nice.
And it's a replayable action roguelike.
Getting into the roguelikes.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was a roguelike until I heard about it today.
There you go.
So, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. Give it a good try. And I will report back next week and let you guys know if it's a great game or an average game, or should you go play it or should you not.
Okay. Yeah, I'm reading the description to your game, and it sounds like it's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'll give it the old college try. I'm off from work tomorrow, so I'll be able to get some hours into it.
Okay. So this week I'm going with Neon Abyss. And Neon Abyss, like every week, I'm just going to read the nice little description that they give you on the either whether it be Steam or the Xbox Game Pass screen. So Neon Abyss is a frantic roguelike action platformer where you run and gun your way into the abyss as part of the Hades-formed Grim Squad. Featuring unlimited items, synergies, and unique dungeon evolution system, each run diversifies the experience and every choice alters the rule set. Get ready to unleash hell. So it sounds interesting. I think it's a 2D platform roguelite. So I like roguelikes. So I'm probably gonna enjoy this game. I'll be playing it on the maybe I'll play it on the maybe I'll actually play with it a controller instead of my Steam Deck.
Cool. Well, I mean, since we're doing game descriptions, Dreamscaper is an endlessly replayable action roguelike with a walking, dreaming gameplay cycle. By night, delve deep into the subconscious, facing nightmares in an ever-changing world filled with unique items, abilities, and challenges. By day, explore the city of Red Haven. Build relationships, unlock permanent upgrades in order to take on the next dream stronger than ever.
Oh, so that's pretty cool. So basically, when you go into the dream sequence, that's your fighting. And that's the roguelike part. And then when you die in the dream, you come back and you use whatever you've collected to power yourself up in the daytime. That sounds like that'd be a cool. I can't wait to hear how that is, because that's a game that I think I might actually end up trying, because that's like the kind of games I like to play.
It almost sounds like it's going to be more in depth than it is.
Yeah. You know, it's either going to be really good and you're going to be like really into it, or it's going to be like, this is the biggest waste of garbage I've ever played in my life.
Or I'm going to be really frustrated with it.
Yeah, that's true too. You know, so those are our games of the week for this week coming up. And now, starting this week and every week, we're going to just go over the big major releases that are coming out on the three main consoles. This really isn't that big of a week for releases, but the biggest game coming out is Hogwarts Legacy is coming out on the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox on February 10th. There's a lot of swirl going around this game. I'm not getting into it, but there's just a lot of not so good attention coming to this game. On the PlayStation 5 also is World War Z Aftermath, which is coming out on the 6th. On the Switch, we're going to have 8 Doors, Aram's Afterlife Adventure is coming out on the 10th. And everybody's favorite game, Let's Play Curling.
I saw that on the Game Pass. I saw that on the Game Pass. It was coming soon.
Right? Which I'm just assuming that it's just curling? That'd be my guess.
I saw that. They also have a cricket one, too.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
That's also coming out on the 10th.
And if you're really bored, there is a cooking simulator.
Yeah, it's true. You could play the cooking simulator on the Xbox Game Pass. Not sure what you're going to be frying up, or how that's going to work, but it's out there. From the makers of Power Washing Simulator and Lawn Mowing Simulator. Power Washing Simulator is addictive.
Yes, I can see myself having fun with that.
I think that's on Game Pass too.
Because power washing in real life is fun. So
yeah, you know. And with that, if you like what you're hearing, please like and subscribe to the podcast. You can visit our website at veryaveragegaming.com. Follow us at Twitter at veryaveragegaming, on Twitch at veryaveragegaming, and the YouTube channel is also Very Average Gaming. Thanks for listening, and like you, we're average too.